Now on to the letters to the Evening News. First of all, Glynlinda of Frettenham criticises axing North Sea oil and gas exploration licences. He writes, I see that Kemi Badenoch, in her speech in Aberdeen earlier in the week, has joined in the criticism of this government's decision to not grant any further licences to drill for gas and oil in the North Sea. Whilst Ed Miliband continues on his merry way to, in my view, wrecking the economy with his pie-in-the-sky net zero crusade, the Norwegian government is looking to step up the granting of licences in the North Sea. Not only will this Labour government's strategy result in massive job losses, but it will also mean that the UK will be importing fossil fuels from Norway at an exorbitant cost to pay for a product we could produce ourselves. How stupid is that?
William Buttinger of Holt considers there is hope for cleaning up our rivers. Who'd expect to find a six-pound barbel fish thriving in a London suburb just yards from the thundering A24? Yet that's exactly what I witnessed recently while visiting South London with my friend Andrew. Standing beside the River Wandle at Colliers Wood, watching a young angler with his mother, we were amazed to see the boy land a magnificent 20-inch barbel from what appeared to be just another urban waterway squeezed between a busy road and a Sainsbury's superstore. The mother's explanation was even more remarkable. For centuries, the Wandle, a chalk stream fed from the North Downs, was filled with industrial pollution. Mills, factories, and urban development had turned the once pristine waterway into little more than an open sewer. Yet dedicated conservation efforts over recent decades have transformed its water quality so dramatically that it now supports not only barbel, but a self-sustaining population of brown trout and diverse aquatic life. If such a transformation is possible in one of London's most densely developed suburbs, surely it offers hope for our own precious chalk streams here in Norfolk. Our Wensum, our Little Ouse, and countless smaller waterways face similar pressures from agriculture, sewage, and development. Yet the Wandle proves that even severely damaged rivers can recover from sustained effort and proper investment. The young angler's catch wasn't just a fish, it was living proof that we need not accept the decline of our waterways as inevitable.
Doug Fulcher of Thorpe suggests taxing football player premiums. I've read recently that a top Premiership football club is prepared to pay £115 million for a man who can kick a bag of wind about just a bit better than his lesser talented teammates. Surely it's time for our Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, to see what she can make of these kind of figures when she again needs to raise more taxes for the nation's pot.
The Norfolk dialect is the subject of a letter from Richard Shepherd of Holt. In her very interesting article, Still Talking Proper, How the Norfolk Accent Stands Its Ground, Opinion, August the 30th, Emma Robinson states that in the fairly recent past, the dialect could change within a matter of miles. This is my own experience of the Norfolk accent. Several years ago now, in a letter to this newspaper, I stated that my peers in Old Norwich would pronounce the word few as foo. Peter Trudgell of Fond challenged this, commenting that the word should be pronounced few, rhyming with you, which is the received pronunciation. But I am certain that a majority of my peers in Old Higham would have pronounced it rhyme with two. There are several other examples of the U vowel being morphing into the O vowel sound, all of which I have heard in Norfolk. Opportunity can be pronounced opportunity, prostitute as prostitute, attitude as attitude, stupid as stupid, computer as computer. However, I believe that there are grounds to believe that these are clues to original English pronunciation and not just regional variations of it. All of the variants I have quoted are still in use in the USA, and if I'm ever fortunate enough to make the acquaintance of an expert linguist in English spoken abroad, I shall draw attention to early Norfolk settlers in Virginia and to the fact that our county was very well represented on the Mayflower in 1620. It is a small consolation to know that while our dialect and accent continue to diminish hereabouts, there are still relics of old Norfolk in the New World.
Angela Woodrow of Norwich is concerned environmental issues are overlooked in the planning process. 2 consecutive days, September the 8th and the 9th, have seen reports showing how our country continues to be one of the most nature-depleted in Europe, with no real hope of recovery on this evidence. The first report concerns the former Royal Norwich Golf Club development in Helston, where 220 supposedly protected ancient trees look likely to be chopped down. Broadland District Council acknowledges that tree loss would be against policy, but states the need for new homes outweighs this consideration. When the Swiss return next summer, there'll be even less insect food in the skies above the city on which to feed their young. The second report shows how Postwick Parish Council are trying to do their bit by objecting to the illuminated sign on the top of a new veterinary practice. Dark skies are vital to nocturnal wildlife, but guess who? Broadland District Council state the impact on wildlife is not a planning consideration for new signs. Perhaps they could set a precedent and make it one.
Finally, display of flags is in the news at the moment. Carrie Miller of Easton comments. I write with regards to the report about my MP, Ben Goldsborough. His opinion about the Union Jack and St George's flags that have recently been appearing across the county. I agree with everything that Ben says. I'm Norfolk born and bred, but which part of being British do your readers relate to? Romans came in boats. Anglo-Saxons, Angles, Jutes and Saxons came from Denmark and Germany via boats. Vikings came in boats from Norway and Denmark. Normans came in bigger boats. Then, of course, we have the Anglo-Spanish War, the Scottish and Dutch invasions, along with a few more from France. So maybe, instead of shouting at walls and desecrating our flags, you should pop into your local library and start in the history section.